This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Immediately upon its building, with a powerful barrier in place, El Paso is one of the safest cities in our country. Simply put, walls work and walls save lives. Tens of thousands of innocent Americans are killed by lethal drugs that cross our border and flood into our cities, including meth, heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl.
Just a little bit of what we heard from the State of the Union, focusing on border and drugs and, of course, the wall, and that the wall saves lives. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, the State of the Union, very lengthy from the president. He didn't get to deliver it on the date that he expected he was because of the government shutdown. He had the back and forth with Nancy Pelosi, and this was the day to do the speech. There's going to be several days, I'm sure, of looking at what was said and analyzing where we head in the future and the reaction to it, etc. But the president used the State of the Union address to push for a border wall. He talked about a see-through wall. He talked about how if you go to the border, the southern border, that it is definitely a national emergency. And he focused several pieces of his State of the Union on that subject, but he certainly addressed a slew of others as well, kind of bouncing around as I was watching the State of the Union. And I'm broadcasting from Chicago, where, by the way, there is an ice storm. Of course there's an ice storm. Last week it was the coldest it's ever been, I think, and it was like you were in Alaska. Now it's the ice storm, but everybody in Chicago and across the land is talking about the State of the Union, and it isn't surprising that the wall was going to be a piece of this. We knew it was. But in opening up the State of the Union, a lot of the focus was on bipartisan cooperation, talking about what we could do together. And even as he would move from subject to subject, I'll call it, or topic to topic, I hate to use that word, but, you know, living, breathing things that affect our lives, even in immigration, he talked about legal immigration and how significant legal immigration is to our society and the contributions, really drawing the distinction between the people who are here illegally and those who are legal. He talked about the proper wall really not getting built, and he said, "I will get it built." He emphasized that. There were cheers, not from the Democrats. There were a contingent of some of the new women in Congress who wore white to the State of the Union in a show of solidarity, and they certainly did not applaud that. There were broad themes about drugs. There were certainly a lot was talked about when it comes to security, as far as ISIS, as far as Iran and withdrawing from the Iranian agreement, the president confirming he's going to meet with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam later in the month. So I thought it was interesting. I thought it was, actually, there was parts of it that were so well done because of the broad strokes and addressing really everything that we talk about when we talk about what's happening in America, what washes out of Washington, what's not being done, what we hope will get done, what our concerns are. He certainly talked about the economy. That's done on almost every speech, and the State of the Union wasn't an exception to that. He said the country has seen unprecedented economic boom since his election, and also threw in, but the fact is we're just getting started. So that's always something that you expect would be put in there. I'm not surprised by that, nor should you be surprised by that if you were watching the State of the Union. He also talked about, it's interesting, when he described the situation, as I mentioned, we go back to the beginning of this, the situation on the border as a crisis, but stopped short of declaring that national emergency as a way of freeing up money to pay for the border wall. He did say, now Republicans and Democrats must join forces again to control an urgent national crisis. So, to be clear, he talked about national crisis. He did not say that he was going to come up with, you know, that this, call it a national emergency and use those funds. That's been talked about. He's talked about it, but that was not talked about in the State of the Union address. He talked about the caravans, and no Democrats stood when the president started to talk about immigration, but there was a little bit of applause from a few of the Democrats. The camera was panning around all over the place when the president brought up what he described as a threat from caravans arriving from Central America. He talked about that there would be a tremendous onslaught. He's used terms like that before. From the caravan, there was someone that sort of laughed from the Democratic side. The Pentagon announced, as we all know, a few days ago that it would deploy 3,700 plus, I'm going to say the exact number was 3,750, additional forces to the southwest border. That deployment, if we're counting numbers, raises the total active duty forces supporting U.S. Customs and Border Protection to over 4,300 there on the border. There was a moment, as I watched this, as all of you did from end to end, where the president made sort of a reference, or veiled reference, I guess is the best way to say it, to Russia Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into possible Russian collusion, suggesting that they might as well, you know, they as well should probe congressional committees. He frequently talks about investigations. He describes it as a witch hunt. We know that. We've seen that on Twitter again and again and again. But the State of the Union was sort of an unexpected twist there for the issue to come up. And he didn't go deep into that. You know, he did say an economic miracle is taking place in the United States, and the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations. I have crummy handwriting. I'm reading it. So I should have been a doctor, not a talk show host. But again, I want to emphasize that because I thought that was key in those rallying cries to, hey, are we going to reach out? An economic miracle taking place in the United States. The only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations. That goes to a better explanation of what I said about Robert Mueller. There's your veiled reference to Mueller and looking into possible collusion with the Russians in 2016. So I'm wondering what the marks will be overall from those who do such thing for a living, where they are schooled in looking at verbatim what's being said and then comparing it, and of course doing fact checking, and there'll be a lot of that, as there always is for any president in any State of the Union address. All right, stay with us. More to come on the State of the Union on the flip side.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with the story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Together we can break decades of political stalemate. We can bridge old divisions, heal old wounds, build new coalitions, forge new solutions, and unlock the extraordinary promise of America's future. The decision is ours to make.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting from a very icy Chicago. While the people in Chicago brace for problems in their morning commutes, as they had a tough time even in the evening commutes, but this is wintertime in Chicago, the one thing that they definitely paid attention to was the State of the Union, like so many of you across the nation, wondering what the president would do. The president got lots of cheers and chants of USA, got a few looks from Nancy Pelosi dressed in white behind him, and some of the other women in Congress who dressed in white to honor suffragettes, sort of as a mark for them. That was part of the reason for doing that. And you just heard the president talk about breaking stalemates, and then the Democratic response from Stacey Abrams, who was a gubernatorial candidate in Georgia. She narrowly lost that, if you remember, and you heard what she had to say, talking about that the shutdown was a disgrace. If you look at the State of the Union, of course, it wasn't initially the address didn't happen when it was supposed to because of the government closure. It goes off a very long State of the Union address where many, many times the president talked about bipartisanship and talked about the greatness that could be, and that it's not Democrats or Republicans. And some of the reaction on the Democratic side, besides what you heard from Stacey Abrams, was that this was theater of the absurd, ridiculous, etc., some of the tweets that I read, while some of the more Republican tweets, I'll call them that, said, this is Teflon Don, he's amazing, this is incredible, he rocks the house, especially when he said, we will never be a socialist country. So State of the Union, a push for the border wall, a border wall that would be not a concrete border wall. He specifically talked about that, but it would be see-through. He talked about sending more troops to the border, did not say declare any kind of a national emergency, but talked about what a crisis it was. There will absolutely be probably 6 or 7 days of breaking down the state of the union, where at times there was definitely people on both sides of the aisle that got up and clapped. It was the longest speech, I mentioned that, since Bill Clinton's in 2000. And I watched it from end to end, as I'm sure many of you did, looking for some of those moments, expecting that we would hear for a call of unification, expecting there would be conversation about the wall, or I should say conversation, but he would make points about the wall. And it was 82 minutes in length, the longest speech since the 89 one that was delivered by Bill Clinton, the third longest ever. So, you know, how about that in charting how long it was? There has been a trend with some presidents for longer speeches, but the length was extended by Trump, and honoring special guests as part of that too, World War II veterans, and he ad-libbed a couple of times. You could tell that, certainly. And he allowed Democratic women extra time to actually celebrate on the House floor when he mentioned the gains women made in Congress in the midterm elections. And then he paused as members of Congress sang happy birthday to Judith Samet, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, a touching moment in last year's Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh. Was horrible and shocking, and was mentioned during the State of the Union. But there is no question there were a lot of people taking bets on how quickly he would get to the border wall, and of course the border wall was absolutely, you know, brought up in the first hour of the State of the Union, and the idea that we have to have a wall, and this, you know, legal immigration, there's a difference in touting legal immigration versus illegal immigration. Talked about jobs and economics, 5.3 million new jobs since he's president, and we're just getting started, and everybody said it was impossible, and there was USA chance to that. It was interesting. I mean, in weaving in what we knew we would see, I think weaving in some of the people that were also there in the gallery, which is something many presidents do, that certainly ate up some of the time. He talked about buses of immigrants and laws that are, or states rather, at the southern border, what was happening there. The fact that the proper wall never got built, and he said, I will get it built, but not saying that there was going to be any kind of a state of emergency, or an emergency declaration, I guess I should say, that was going to be declared, because there were thoughts about that would this be what would happen, that we would see that there would be this declaration for that, and it would happen during the State of the Union. And the fact is, it didn't. He stopped short of that, but set it up the punch, I think, if that's going to happen, because remember, February 15th is the day, the possibility of that. So, as I kind of traverse, and I want to make sure that I get that, you know, there's always the fact checking, there's always the conversation afterwards, and Trump said the state of our union is strong, and when he said that, Nancy Pelosi, who at times had some facial expressions that were caught on camera near him, because she was right behind him, she did not stand and clap for that. There were certainly Republicans who stood up and clapped for the president making that assertion that we're strong and moving toward getting even better, that it could become even better. It will become even better was something that was kind of a repeated theme in this, you know, in what the president said. So a couple of other things to throw out that were interesting. He drew considerable heat or backlash from members of the Republican Party in December. And, you know, why is that? Well, part of that, of course, is because of where we were headed with the wall versus what's going to happen with the government, and what we're going to see this government shutdown, and then, of course, ultimately what happened with the government shutdown. Trump announced he's going to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. That's going to happen in Vietnam on February 27th and 28th, and, of course, that's the thawing tensions between the two leaders that were publicly trading insults. That's obviously been lifted in the threat of military confrontation. So that summit comes less than a year after that historic meeting in Singapore, if you're keeping score there. The president addressed, and I mentioned that, at the top, the abortion issue, slamming New York's new abortion law, expanding the type of health care practitioners who can perform abortions and allow for late term abortions if the health of the mother is at risk or the fetus is not viable. He emphasized that, and certainly there will be some reaction to what he said. You know, early in his presidency, there was hope Democrats and Republicans could work together on some sort of an infrastructure spending package. Those chances got dimmer and dimmer when the White House offered different kinds of signals, I guess, about how to pay for rebuilding roads and bridges and airports. But that was something that was brought up about infrastructure and what could be done with infrastructure. So, you know, as I said, the wall, he harkened back to saying that that Congress had approved a border wall but never got it built. We certainly talked about this on America Tonight. It was the Secure Fence Act of 2006 that called for 700 miles of fencing, and about 650 miles of that was actually put up. If you look at some of the numbers from the Government Accountability Office. So will this go down as, I mean, this was certainly his State of the Union. Will it go down as one of the better ones? That's for history to decide and for you to decide. I'd love to know your thoughts. Send them to me at katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com. I'm going to introduce you to an incredible woman who has a mission to help foster children next for something different. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Now, Republicans and Democrats must join forces again to confront an urgent national crisis.
During his State of the Union speech on Capitol Hill, President Trump calling the situation at our southern border a crisis. The president calling on Republicans and Democrats to work together to come up with a compromise plan to fund finishing the border wall.
Congress has 10 days left to pass a bill that will will fund our government, protect our homeland, and secure our very dangerous southern border. Now is the time for Congress to show the world that America is committed to ending illegal immigration and putting the ruthless coyotes, cartels, drug dealers, and human traffickers out of business.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
She's in our virtual green room right now, and she's written a powerful book that I really think everyone needs to read. Tanya Gregory has written a book called A Natural Child in a Foster Care Home, and she joins us now. Tanya, thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely, Kate. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to share this information with people.
And one of the things I think we should start off with talking about what is foster care and the misconceptions of what foster care can do, because I think people, when they think of foster care, automatically conjure up an image. Do you think so?
I definitely am finding that more and more. I mean, not only with my experience as a child, which is in the book of the 22 children that went through my family, but at the same time, talking with people, when you mention it, the first thing they think of is the negative that has been pushed out there, that understandably hurt children have put that out there, and it seems to carry faster than positive news. But there are many, many children that are not troubled children that people are not aware of. So a lot of times the image that people perceive is a challenged child, a very challenging situation, and a long-term commitment. And that is not always the case. It is actually a much smaller percentage than what people realize.
Yeah, and when you, as you say that, Tanya, it makes me think of that. How many kids are caught up in the system because of those misconceptions that, hey, you grab a child and there's these problems and you're going to be stuck. But that's not true, is it?
No, it is absolutely not true. I've spoken with many of the social workers that are dear friends of mine right here in the Lake County area. And as of last year, I don't know this year's numbers, but as of last year, there were over 2,000 children in the foster care system that does not include where family members have taken the child in. So to me, that is huge. It is to them also. There's some of them being placed in group homes. They really don't have the families to place them in that they would like to have. And so that makes it a huge challenge for the placement agencies and for the Child Protective Services to do their job effectively.
Yeah, and you and I talked about something interesting for everybody listening to the show, that it, when you have so many children that get caught up in the system and then with these misconceptions, it has a massive impact on society, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Every child that is not being cared for or being put in a situation that isn't exactly what you would rather have, it's not as loving and one-on-one or, you know, just a small group, one or two children or a family kept together, those kinds of things cause hurt and anger within the child. And those are the situations and the stories that we're hearing. And sadly, every child that has that, any child in an abuse or neglected situation that's in the public school, for example, they're impacting all the children around them to some degree. So helping out to love a child through their anger, through their hurt, through all of this benefits everybody, because then the child is less apt to be a negative impact than more apt to be a positive impact to the children around them, which then in turn come home with their challenges and bullying and anger and all of that.
Yeah, and instead of the negative, if we turn that around, there's also something that I guarantee people are capable of doing that are listening to us. And when you and I talked off the air, it made me immediately spring into action and think, well, what can I do even in my own neighborhood? And you've talked about, you know what, you can, somebody who is fostering children, you can help them out just by taking the children that they're fostering to the movies, giving them a break, that kind of thing that I think neighbors and communities often don't think about, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many things that can be done. And taking in children to help, even if you don't know a foster family, you can do short term. You can, through the system, do an emergency care where it's only 3 days to a week before the child that has come to you through the removed from the home right away needs a place to go, no place to put them. Usually in less than 2 weeks, they are put in a long-term placement if that's deemed the necessity for that situation. They can also do respite care where they take the children for a weekend or a week. But even beyond that, these foster families would benefit so much from just a group of people getting together and telling the foster families, why don't you come on out? We're going to give you a meal. We're going to encourage you in a positive conversation or let you interact with one another and gain insight on how to handle different situations. Let the children play and let them know they're special. They're not under our feet. They're not garbage. They're not tossaways. They're not thrown away, but they're special and somebody cares. That is a huge impact. Also the fact that, yes, they're compensated a little bit each month for the child that they have, but we all know children are very expensive. It can be a challenge. So if you as a neighbor can say, hey, I just wanted to bring you a meal over so you didn't have to cook tonight, Mom. You've got all these foster children. I want to help you out. Oh, I don't know any mom that wouldn't be grateful for that, you know. Or, like you said, take them to the park. Take them to the movies. Do something with the children to give the foster parents a little bit of break, even for just a couple of hours. Yeah. Any of that helps them out.
Yeah, I so agree. Tanya, let's tell everybody where they can get a copy of your book, A Natural Child in a Foster Care Home.
It is actually on Amazon.com. And the one thing they want to note is it's the spelling of the name. It was originally written in a pen name because initially I wanted to be certain to contact everybody involved. And even though I haven't referenced locations and I've used other names in the book, I've changed the names for privacy purposes. I wanted to be certain that I could get feedback from all the family members and make sure that they were comfortable with putting it out there. But Amazon.com is where they can get the book.
And in talking about foster care, and you mentioned this, 22 children on the farm growing up, are you still in touch with the foster care children that were part of your family?
A good percentage of them, yes. Now, many of them have, of course, it's been many years. They started coming into my home at 4, and I am... Well, many years past that. So it has been many years since some of them have been there. And then there's the occasional that has been in for just a short amount of time. That we heard feedback from the social service agent that they're doing well, they're back in school, the family's got things worked out, and we haven't really heard from that individual directly. But then we've had others that we have just popped in 11 years later, and there's that story is in the book. And it's really, it's entitled A Short Time Can Make a Difference. And it's a powerful story about just 6 months in this young lady's life. And when she left our home, we did not think there was any change or impact that we had on her life. The reports we got back from social services were not positive. 11 years later, she drove in the driveway, and I happened to have been moved in, visiting. My parents at that point were empty nesters, and she pulled in the driveway. She wanted to see her room. We were shocked. We hadn't heard from her. She looked around at her room, and she said, "When I left here, I ruined my life. I got wrapped up in drugs and alcohol and gambling. I was married. I had children. I ended up divorced. It was horrible. But because of what I learned here, I've turned my life around. I'm remarrying my husband, and I'm going to do this right." Tears are flowing down our faces. You cannot imagine the incredible joy to see that kind of an impact. It may have taken 11 years for that young lady, but praise God it finally happened. It was a shock, I'll be honest. We were amazed. But she literally said because of what she learned there. And we just loved on her, taught her life skills, encouraged her to be more than she was. That's all it was. It's not like we, you know, gave her intense therapy. It was just love.
Wow.
A roof over her head and direction.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful story. I'm so glad that you told that story. What do you hope, Tanya, that people take away from our conversation and then picking up your book?
Well, I hope that they can take a look at as they read the book, that they'll see that even in hard times, because there's challenges in life in everybody's childhood. Nobody has a perfect childhood, in my opinion. If they did, it'd be amazing. I'd love to hear it. And if they pick up my book, I believe they're going to see that there's a light at the end of every tunnel. They're going to see that there is positive impact if they will just hang in there. Children that are in foster care have found it to be very encouraging that they can make it. Foster parents currently have found it encouraging. Foster parents or people that are thinking of being foster parents have also found it to be something that helped them make a decision of, you know what, I think I really want to do this. And that is what I really want people that are not in the foster care program to take a look at. Is this something that my spouse and I can do? We both agree. Or even as a single parent, do I have the support system? And is this something that I can do to help someone else in life?
Oh, what a beautiful way to end this. And tell everyone again your website. And, of course, they can go to Amazon. You can even just look up the title and you'll be able to find Tanya's book. But tell them where they can reach out to you.
I have a ministry of tlgministries.org. It's my initials. What I do is I build people and connect ministries. One of the things that I'm doing is trying to build people and encourage them to become foster parents. So you'll find that there's a recording and there's also my book, the link to buy my book there.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
You're my may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's time to invade the man cave. So here we are in the man cave, and we would be talking maybe about the State of the Union, but certainly we'd be talking about the state of the NFL. Here it is a few days later after a boring Super Bowl, lowest rated one since 2007. But don't tell that to people from Boston or Patriot fans. It was a wild parade for Tom Brady and the Patriots, number six. So the duck boats rolled down the streets, and Gronk was there, as were all of the players on the team. People were climbing trees along the route for better glimpses of the players. And you got to say, you know, now, no matter how you feel of the Patriots, they win, and they do parades well in Boston, and this was a big parade for the Patriots. There wasn't any glamorous, crazy speeches this year. In fact, it was really more about the people celebrating and the team celebrating. But you know, it's not old hat, but they've given those speeches. So Tom Brady was a little bit different than the photographs of Gronk, who was doing the bare-chested thing, if you will. He likes his celebrations. Brady had a coat on and had his hat on and had his family around him getting a chance to enjoy in the people who were just rocking and soaking it all up. And I mean, Boston was like a shrine to the Patriots. And it was just a few months after celebrating the Red Sox, because you remember it was a huge parade for the Red Sox too. So quite a year, because I'm going to count it as a year, if you look at the tail end of the baseball season heading into the holidays. It was quite a year for Boston fans, and you have to say, hey, congratulations to the Patriots for pulling it off. It's not easy to win that many Super Bowls, and certainly not easy to get back-to-back appearances in the Super Bowl, and they did it. They narrowly, people keep forgetting this, I've said it a few times, you know, they narrowly lost to the Philadelphia Eagles last year. And of course, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm not taking anything away from the Eagles, because they played well and they won. But the Patriots were in that all the way through and could have won. They just didn't. So they won this time around. I think that had something to do with it. And they really did feel like people were counting them out. And that also, to me, set the tone for, we're in this, we're going to win this. We don't care what people are saying because, you know what, we're here and we're going all the way. I really do. I really think that they had that attitude, and they said as much after winning the Super Bowl. All right, from the police blotter, Steelers wideout Antonio Brown has been involved in a domestic dispute, but so far hasn't been arrested. This, of course, happened in January. The Hollywood Police Department in South Florida confirmed it after the word kind of leaked out, and his lawyer says the allegations are baseless and false, and we don't have any comments. We're not going to let his name be tarnished. The Steelers issued a statement saying they're aware of the alleged incident, and they're still in the process of gathering more information. It's Brown's second legal issue in South Florida, where he was born and raised. In October, he had two lawsuits from an April incident where he allegedly yelled at a security person and threw some items off an apartment balcony. And boy, there's a couple of other things that are plaguing Antonio Brown, too. This is the newest one, but again, his spokesperson says they're not going to comment on it. It's a schmear, and we'll see. And then we'll see if the league gets involved or what happens, you know, after that. Let's head to baseball because, believe it or not, here we are in February. And, of course, I'm broadcasting from Chicago. I'm live at the Palmer House, beautiful, right in downtown Chicago. And an ice storm is underway. So typical Chicago weather, although a week ago it was like we were in Alaska if you were in Chicago. That's how people described it. If you were here, you felt as though you were someplace else that you had never seen before, even in this city. So, of course, there's plenty of conversations about the Cubs to be had and the White Sox, but they're not making quite as much news, although there was a gossipy. There certainly was a gossipy story about Chicago chairman Tom Ricketts, who is distancing himself from what he called racially insensitive email exchanges with his father, Joe Ricketts, after they were linked by Splinter News. And what Tom Ricketts said in the statement is, "We are aware of the racially insensitive emails in my father's account that were published by an online media outlet. My father is not involved with the operation of the Cubs in any way. I am trusted with the representation of this organization and our fans with the respect for people from all backgrounds." Major League Baseball, in a statement they issued on Tuesday, said they were aware of the email exchanges. So at first it was gossip, like I mentioned, and then there was something more to it, and those emails got leaked. And then there was this: while many of the emails were not written by Mr. Ricketts, the content is extremely offensive and completely at odds with the values and principles of Major League Baseball. That's what was released from baseball headquarters. The elder Ricketts holds no title with the Cubs, but is the father of Pete Ricketts, governor of Nebraska, and Todd Ricketts, who is the Republican National Committee finance chair, and Joe Ricketts, by the way, who is the founder and former CEO of TD Ameritrade. Those emails go back several years, and that's what they're coming from. Wow, this whole thing with emails and releasing them and leaking them, on the other side of this, I mean, of course they're distancing themselves from that, and of course they have to make statements, and once they're out there, they're out there. But it just makes you wonder, what are people doing? What are they thinking when they sit in front of a keyboard and then they start to pound out emails? You know, your emails live on and on. Look at forensic investigative work and how they can go back forensically and trace emails, and often do. And that's why when you see the FBI and they grab computers, remember even Michael Cohen, they grabbed up everything of his because that's what they're looking for. What are the exchanges? What have they missed? How can they go back, etc.? And there's no way around that, whatever the specifics were of the emails. It certainly puts them in an awkward position, but he doesn't hold any weight with the team, so there is that. But there certainly was some conversation about it, like, what's up with that? Who's running the show? What's going on there? And how are those emails out there? How are they out there? All right, you know what? Accidents and athletes, and then when they do things they're not supposed to do, like ride ATV vehicles and injure themselves. This had nothing to do with that. But Wizards John Wall ruptured, he ruptured his Achilles tendon. He's going to miss 12 months. So he was already down this season, and now he needs surgery on his left Achilles tendon. He tore it in a fall at home, they say. So the Wizards team doctor did a conference call, because reporters want to know, because John Wall is such a big part of the team, that the doctor said he discovered the partial rupture of the tendon during a procedure that was done earlier this week to address an infection from the operation on his left heel back in the beginning of January. It's like, you think of John Wall, he's only 28 years old, and Achilles stuff is so serious when you've got something with the Achilles, so that's never good anyway. But Wall's making 19 plus this season, 19 mil that is. He signed through 2022-23, and he's going to make $38.2 million next season, and then, you know, it goes up from there. He's the number one pick. You got to remember this, and I was thinking this today. Actually, when I was walking around Chicago, he was the number one pick in the 2010 NBA draft out of Kentucky. Great Kentucky team, and was an all-star in each of the past seasons, but all these injuries have really robbed him of some prime time. He played in only 41 games last season. He had to have an operation on his left knee. He had surgery on both knees in 2016. So it's been rough for John Wall, to say the least. And obviously on the Washington Wizards, because they need what he offers on the floor. And he is a huge missing part of the equation for the Wizards. And I can bring it back to the first thing I talked about, Tom Brady and the questions, and not the questions, but the parade. And it's like, I just sort of wonder if people can just give him space. He keeps getting asked the question every day about his age. He's 41. He's not stepping aside. Robert Kraft announced to the world he can play as long as he wants to play. So I don't expect him. He may end up being the oldest quarterback of all time. Who knows? He's going to end up being one of the greatest. And how many more Super Bowls are in Tom Brady? Can you imagine? 6 Super Bowls already. Wow. Craziness. Hey, thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show from Chicago. Remember, you can always get a hold of me, katedelaneyradio.com. Make it count, everyone.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.